So what do you do? What do you do when your preacher father asks you if maybe for Father's Day you might be willing to preach for him? It would be helpful, he says. There are multiple funerals this week, he says. Well, you don't say, I don't know. I have a lot of different feelings about Father's Day and what we do in church. No, you don't say that. You say, okay, it's what you do. And then you find out what you're going to preach on, and you find this text that you saw listed in today's lectionary. Does it have anything to do with Father's Day? Not really, but who cares? I mean, it's this beautiful, wonderful text that speaks to you, and you just know you're supposed to preach on it. And so you call up your preaching father and you say, I got this great sermon idea. The text is going to be from Paul's writing to the Romans, and it's all about suffering. And he says, okay, but don't forget it's Father's Day. You say, yeah, it is, isn't it? Well, here we stand and we can do no other. It is Sunday morning and it's time for the preaching. Father's Day is an interesting day in church life. It is. It's quite the conundrum for the preacher. That might not be popular to say, I don't know, but I'm just being honest. It's a lot like Mother's Day. Now, you may have never thought about this before, but I'm going to pull the curtain back from the pulpit. Yeah, you ever seen one of those shows on TV, like it'll give you an inside look at something? Like, next up on Discovery Channel, an inside look at the Secret Service. You ever watched anything like that? I love those. Well, this is going to be an inside look at preaching. Maybe not as interesting, I know, but hang with me. Father's Day isn't specifically a religious holiday. The internet will tell you, if you check your sources, Father's Day was first started by a woman out in the state of Washington, a woman named Sonora Smart Dodd, whose father was a Civil War veteran by the name of William Smart. After the war, William Smart raised six children as a single parent. So his daughter, Sonora Smart Dodd, wanted a day to honor all fathers. Nationwide, much like Mother's Day, for our nation and our people to be able to honor all fathers. So at the YMCA in Spokane, Washington, on June 19th, 1910, there was the first Father's Day celebration. There is, however, a church in West Virginia that will say, well, we did that 2 years earlier. But whether it was 1908 or 1910, I mean, it really doesn't matter. Here we are, 107 or 109 years later, 2017, and it's Father's Day. And you probably came to church expecting for the sermon to say something about Father's Day. And help us if it was Mother's Day. Everybody comes to church on Mother's Day wanting to hear about dear old sweet mama. You do. You would be upset if I didn't talk about Father's Day. Don't act like you wouldn't. But what does it have to do with worship? What does it have to do with church? Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying it doesn't have to do. In fact, I think it does have to do with one another. And the obvious connection, of course, is, let's turn this monologue into a dialogue.
You tell me. It's okay. You can talk back. There's no wrong answers. Why do you think we observe Father's Day and Mother's Day in church? Why should we talk about it? Heavenly Father, okay. That would be my answer too. The obvious connection is the Ten Commandments, right? And that one in the middle. Honor your father and mother. So it is natural that we do talk about Mother's Day and Father's Day. Honoring your father and mother is one of those great cornerstones onto which the Judeo-Christian tradition is built. But have you thought about it from somebody's perspective other than your own? And this is that inside look at preaching. But think about it. Think about how many different people we have here in this sanctuary and how they'll hear what you're saying. So that's the hard thing about church. We come here with our different perspectives, our different backgrounds, our different histories, our different stories. You see, I'm a parent. I have a great relationship with my parents. So I have no major issue with Mother's Day or Father's Day. But have you thought about what today is like for maybe for somebody who had a very bad relationship with their father? Have you thought about what today is like for maybe somebody who might have been sexually abused by their father? I know that's something we don't like to talk about in church, but it's reality. Have you thought about what today is like for maybe somebody grieving for a lost father? Or maybe on Mother's Day, have you thought about how painful it can be for the young woman who has tried and tried and tried to have children? Or have you thought about what either day feels like to the person who is confidently and surely living out their God-created calling, and being a parent and having children has nothing to do with it? So while it would be easy to stand up here and do a sermon about our Heavenly Father, while it's easy on Mother's Day to stand up and talk about God's motherly love, we have to think about all the voices. How hard it is for the person who had such a horrible experience with their earthly father that talking about God as a heavenly father becomes a stumbling block. Or the sermon one time that was preached, a beautiful sermon about God's motherly love, and it brought up so much pain and grief to a young woman in the back. She's walking out crying, angry at you, and you don't even know what she did. An inside look at preaching. Like I said, it's pretty interesting nonetheless. It's what makes worship in church hard, but it's also what makes it beautiful. Because despite our diversity of opinions, despite our perspectives, despite our experiences, and how different they are, God works through it all, and yes, even through the preacher, to bring about something we call the proclaimed Word of God. And I'm bold enough to think God's going to do that again today, using my original lectionary text on suffering. Does it have anything to do with Father's Day? Maybe not on the surface. That's called foreshadowing and an inside look at preaching. But stick around and maybe you'll see. I know Daddy talks about the lectionary a lot. He preaches from the lectionary some, not all the time, but some. But I don't want to make any assumptions, so let's talk about what the lectionary is. The lectionary, we use the Revised Common Lectionary. Most Protestant churches use it, okay? This really group of smart scholars got together, these grand poobahs, and they wrote down a set of readings for every Sunday in the life of the church. And it includes an Old Testament reading, a gospel reading, a reading from the Psalm, and another reading from the New Testament, usually from one of Paul's letters. And it's designed so that every 3 years, over a period of 3 years, you've heard the entirety of Scripture, for the most part, out loud in church. If you followed the lectionary and read it in church every Sunday for 3 years, you'd hear most of Scripture. And it's also designed so the preacher doesn't, you know, preach from the same book over and over and over and over and over. So you can hear diversity of voices out loud from the pulpit. I always check the lectionary when I preach. First thing I do is I check the lectionary just to see what's there. And when I did it this past week on Wednesday, because I forgot I told my dad I'd preach for him, there was this beautiful passage from Romans, a passage that I love, that I think has a lot of lived wisdom. This passage speaks to me. It is what I do on a daily basis, I feel like, at Cancer Services of Davison County. And I think it's a message we could all hear. But does it have anything to do with Father's Day? Hold on. We'll see. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up. This passage is the 5th chapter of Romans. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. And this is a beautiful passage that Paul writes very clearly here. So you really don't have to add too much to it. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It's the word of God for the people of God. That's a beautiful passage. We are justified not by our own works, not by anything we have earned, but by our faith. Of course, faith is active. And so true faith is going to produce works. We all know that. Faith isn't just a noun, it's also a verb. And faith isn't just something you possess, it's also something you live. We know that. We're justified by our faith. And that faith gives us hope, Paul says. Hope in something better to come. And that hope moves us so much that we even boast about it. We talk about it. We brag about it. And then Paul flips the script. Because then he says, but not only all that good stuff, we can even boast about our suffering. I really don't want to hear somebody talk about how they're suffering all day, every day. I know a couple people like that.
But Paul says, no. Suffering eventually produces hope. You eventually get there. First, it produces endurance, and then character, and then hope. And hope does not disappoint us. I believe in hope. But I also believe in suffering. I think they're both an integral part of our lives. I've lived long enough and have enough experiences, and I've met enough people and heard enough stories to know that life is full of ups and downs, ins and outs, peaks and valleys. But I know the power of hope. I mean, I made it our tagline at Cancer Services. Everything we do to give cancer patients hope for life. It's written on every board agenda my board attends. They know it. Hope for life. Why do I focus so much on that? Because I know cancer can't touch hope. Hope will kick cancer's door down at every chance it gets. And even if somebody's body gives out and they succumb to this terrible disease, we still have hope. Jesus teaches us that we have a hope beyond death. I believe in hope. I've seen what it can do. But I also know the reality of suffering. Just on Friday, a man came in, homeless, and he just got a cancer diagnosis. Homeless. I could tell you about the single mom of three. Single, alone, three children, all under the age of 12. Because of her breast cancer treatment, she doesn't know if she can buy groceries for kids this week. She doesn't know if she'll be there for her kids in 6 months. 76-year-old senior citizen, living off of that $1,000 of Social Security a month. All of a sudden they have cancer and they have to go to radiation 5 days a week, and nobody is left alive in their family to take them, and they're all alone. It doesn't have to be cancer, though. It can be any of our stories. All those hypothetical situations I said earlier, a person abused by their father, people struggling with becoming parents, people grieving, that could be the person sitting next to you. This congregation is full of hope. This congregation is full of suffering. It's life. But do not mishear me. Don't mishear me. I am not condoning suffering. I am not saying God causes us to suffer. What I am saying is what Paul was saying, that suffering is a natural byproduct of being human. It's because we live in a broken, sinful world. God loves us enough to give us free will. We're not puppets on a string, but we're fragile and we suffer. God doesn't necessarily cause it, but what God does is God works through it to bring about something good. That's why we can boast about our suffering. because we know that God will work through it to bring us to a place of hope. Just like God worked through the cross to produce the resurrection, God can take the worst of the situation and bring about something good out of it. I truly, honestly, fervently believe that with every ounce of my being. And I'd say 99% of the cancer patients I work with will tell you, while it's been horrible, while it's been terrible, something good's come out of it. I'd say 99% of the people we see will tell us that. Whether it's a new appreciation for life, a new focus on what's important, a closer relationship with a loved one, a closer relationship with God. When they have hindsight, they can tell us God worked through our suffering to produce something good. I can look at my own life. There are things I wouldn't have ever chosen for myself. But now with hindsight, I can say God worked through this to produce something good. That's what Paul's trying to say. And that's the gospel for today. So now for the preaching. That was just like scripture exploration. Now we're going to preach. No matter what you're feeling today, okay? No matter where you are in life, no matter what you got going on, you need to know something. God intends good for you. And even if you're in the midst of an awful suffering, God intends to bring good out of it. Somehow, some way. It may just be a sliver of light in the darkness, but the smallest light can burn bright in a dark room. Now to bring it full circle, back to Father's Day.
That's called a sandwich.
I have a great father. I'm beyond blessed. I know I told Ella Ray several years ago, if I can love you half as much as my daddy has loved me, I'm going to make like the top 10 daddy list. I have a great father. But why am I blessed? Why am I lucky? When I know people that are suffering, either because of grief, broken relationships, it's not fair. And I don't have an answer. I don't know why this world has to be full of so much suffering, so much pain. I don't know. But I do know. I do know that God loves us. I hope you were paying attention earlier when Beverly read that parable. I'm sure you've heard it before. You were paying attention, right? You weren't thinking about lunch or anything, like you maybe even opened up your Bibles and followed along. I'm sure you were. But just in case, let's recap. Jesus says, kingdom of heaven's like a man. Got some money. Starts a business. Plants a vineyard. Puts a wine press in it. That's a big thing here in the Yadkin Valley region. Going to start a winery. Even going to put in all the top-notch security systems. Has a watchtower. And then he hires employees. And gets everything set up. Gets payroll set up. Going to take out the right taxes, all that. He has the business ready to run. And so it runs, and it runs well. And so it comes time for him to collect the profit of the business. And so he sends a servant. And they beat him up. He sends another servant. And they kill him. And the Gospel of Mark's a little bit different. It says it happens again and again. He keeps on sending people and sending people, and they're beaten and they're killed, and they're not going to pay. So the man says, I know what I'll do. I have this beloved son. I'll send him. Now, I know if you're familiar with that passage, you probably read it and said, oh, that's the story of God sending Jesus to us. But think about it, just like if you heard it for the first time. If somebody told me that story, I would say, well, that daddy was stupid. That's crazy. Why would you send your son into that? Why? Seriously, why? Haven't you seen what they've done? Why would you send your only beloved son into that? God's love for you is just that crazy. And it's just that big. That's how much God loves you. That's how much. So this Father's Day, we hope you can honor your father. But if not, if you're suffering, if something's going on that doesn't even have anything to do with Father's Day, or even if you're just happy as a lark and everything's great, know that God loves you desperately. A crazy amount. And that no matter what you're facing, no matter the suffering that you're having to go through, know that something good is going to come. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope. Hope does not disappoint.